right. I will call our May 5th, 2021 Clean Water Commission meeting to order. And starting with roll call, Mr. Matt is here. Marie?
I'm here.
Michelle?
I'm here.
Matthew?
I'm here.
Sue? Sue said she wasn't able to attend today, is that right?
Correct.
Okay. Justin?
Here.
Michelle Maynard?
Here.
Josh? Seems like didn't yet?
No.
Okay. And Commissioner 1873975876.
That'd be me.
All right, excellent. And then we have review packet information, but we didn't have minutes that we need to review from the last one, so are we?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's all right.
If you didn't get them, I have a feeling, because that was when the agenda was like, well, so that's why I sent it. I'm like, what's going on? Yeah, sure. And so I sent it out again. It's like, for sure. Obviously. Oh, I'm so sorry, everybody. I will send them out to you soon.
I was thinking it was a light agenda for the evening.
It is a very light agenda.
Real quick. I'd have to review minutes. Okay. Well, we'll just cover that on the next one. No problem.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Any public comments?
No. In fact, I checked again right before we came on here at 6:23, and there were no voicemails or emails to the main line, and no emails to me personally. I haven't been getting any voicemails, so if somebody tried to call, I don't know if I'm not getting voicemails with the login I have right now. So there may be a message. Usually it comes through on my email, so it didn't get put through. So I checked 3 or 4 times throughout the day, and there was no messages.
On our due diligence.
Yep.
Well, then moving into the meat of the agenda here, starting with Eric and Clean Water Division Outreach.
All right. Well, let's see. We've actually been kind of, since we last met, doing some actual outreach. I was at the Pacific Park Dog Paw Park. They had a kind of a cleanup event, and that was about 3 weeks ago, maybe 4 weeks ago. And they get a bunch of volunteers out there. A lot of people think that all the dog paw parks are just like a county or a city thing, but although most of them are on county property, it's a volunteer organization that the county mows and maintains the fence, but the volunteers do the other stuff to help maintain that stuff. So they invited me to promote some tables for Canines for Clean Water, which I did. To be honest, I think that's one of the most popular dog paw parks. And there weren't a ton of people. Now, it was a very cold and windy, about ready to start spitting all day kind of day. Might have kept people away. But I've got another one of those coming up this weekend, actually, at Lucky, which is the dog paw park in Brush Prairie on 149th Street, just past the Casey Center. In addition, I gave a presentation for the Small Acreage Program at the Small Acreage Expo. They did it virtually this year. The attendance was okay, but the webinars were recorded. So I kind of gave a kind of an overview kind of presentation of their Living on the Land class that they have, which really just is kind of a property management course that is really beneficial to landowners especially to landowners that are new to acreage, and kind of gives them the whole range of things to be considering, in the interaction between plants and water and animals, and soil, and the interaction between those natural resources, and helps them kind of develop a plan through the lens of stewardship. And that was what my topic was. So I presented for a little over an hour there to about, I think, 14 or 15 people. Now, typically that event, when it's live, would bring in around 100 people, You wouldn't get that for every class, but usually about 25 or 30 per class. So so I think everyone's kind of getting ready to kind of do things in person again. But I thought that they did a good job in the virtual space there. And then last weekend for last weekend was the Clark Public Utilities Earth Day Fest, which we typically table at. And this year, obviously, that wasn't happening. They were doing it all virtual. And so we've been sponsoring that event for as long as I can remember, the county has. And so we did that again this year. And the way we did that was by paying for Will Horniak, the storyteller. He's a award-winning storyteller, and he's got a series of stories called Living Streams, and he's great. And so we paid for him, and they had a couple different kind of events and presentations, and so he gave a couple different, he told a few of his stories in two different sections of that programming on Saturday, and so that went well. And then coming up, I'm going to be presenting to NAC on Monday, just kind of an overview of the clean water program, pretty brief, and some of the resources that are available on the Stormwater Partners website and Canines for Clean Water, because neighbors always want to know about that type of stuff. How to report a spill or report an issue if they find something in their neighborhood that they need to bring to our attention. Want to make sure that they have that information. And then later this month, I think it's on the 20th, I'll be presenting for the Clark Conservation District along with someone from community development. They're doing like a series on manure management and some other kind of agricultural best management practices. What we'll be specifically presenting on is, keeping your animals up on the stream, basically to protect riparian habitat and also to, just protect water quality and the manure that can get in there if you just let your animals go kind of unchecked throughout the stream. And my portion is really going to be talking more about some of our findings that our natural resource specialists have been uncovering in their source microbial analysis in the Salmon Creek watershed and also the East Fork Lewis River. So I'll be sharing some of that information, kind of teeing it up for Brent Davis, our community development guy, who's going to be talking about kind of what some of the regulations are about, letting your animals go here and there and, restricting them from certain water bodies and setbacks and stuff like that. Some of the other projects that we've got going on. We've got the student video contest, and the applications are due for that on May 20th. And right now we only have two applicants, and only one of them had a viable link to a video that I could view. If you've ever coordinated events or anything like that, you put this thing out super early. And then you just let the anxiety build, and then the last week, everyone comes and I said, I want to do that. So I'm, putting my faith in that outcome, and just trying to think back to when I was a middle school, high schooler, how proactive I was in all of my assignments. So we do know that there's a number of teachers out there that are assigning it, either not assigning or highly encouraging it for their students. We've had a few people inquire about it, and so we do feel like there's going to be some more applications coming in there, and we're looking forward to that. We've got the six different sponsors from private firms that are kind of that do stormwater and stormwater engineering type of work, and so we actually met with the Stormwater Partners yesterday, just in kind of a work group fashion, to discuss how we're going to kind of move this along and kind of how we're going to judge the winners. So So basically, you know, we're letting that, we're going to have a couple people from the Stormwater Partners be judges, but most of the judges are going to be a representative from the sponsors, and they'll be looking through the videos and scoring them. And then we're thinking about having, we're not entirely sure about the awards format, but thinking about having like some kind of a Zoom ceremony where maybe the sponsors can present the students with some award with their check. I mean, they're getting real money here. $500 for first place, $500 first place prizes, and then $100 runner up for all those categories as well. So I really hope that people win. Let's see what else. Oh yeah, another piece of that will be promoting this on June 14th. There's a part of the video that's the People's Choice Awards. And so there's four of the awards are going to categories. And then the People's Choice Award is just going to be awarded by whoever's video gets the most kind of likes and comments. And so that's, you know, the hope there is that the participants will be pushing these videos that they made out to their circles and sharing them among their social networks, but also that you know, it can reach a broader audience. We probably want to do a press release for that to also let the public know that they can check that out for a week in June to see the videos and vote for the ones that they want to do. A little bit about the Clean Rivers Coalition, because I'm on the steering committee for that. You know, they've selected a vendor to do a Latinx listening and focus groups, really to kind of understand, you know, how the Latinx community is using media to learn about, like, environmental programming and education and behaviors and activities. We want to learn about the concerns about environmental issues, trusted messengers, and then barriers for participation in kind of local environmental events and motivations for connecting with waterways and recommendations for successful engagement. So they've selected a vendor for that. They'll be meeting with on Monday. And I think that will bear some really valuable information for helping us in Clark County in a number of different types of programming reach some of those underserved audiences. And they have, I was on the kind of the vendor selection committee for the website and the videos. They'll have a, you know, a website with this Follow the Water campaign, Follow the Water, Connect the Drops. But then they're also going to have like a couple of Columbia River videos that are really meant to kind of evoke emotional connections between people and their waterways, kind of be the cornerstone for this campaign and a lot of their future work to kind of draw people in and make them care or encourage them to care. And then they'll also be producing some pesticide videos. And I'm on the committee to look at some of those videos and just figure we're in the midst of kind of working with some people from OSU Extension, Master Gardener stuff, trying to develop and figure out what are the best BMPs that we want to create these videos for, how do we want to frame them, and how do we want the look and feel to come out when they're finally done. So we haven't selected the vendor for those three different projects, but we're really close to doing that. Our Drone Trip and Drive program has pretty much just been on hold since COVID started. A lot of that was because, you know, there's quite the connection between the kind of in-person outreach between the leak check events and also in the extension of the program, we expanded the scope of work to pilot a couple of workshops. And so those have not been really feasible at this time period. I did suggest to the Watershed Alliance that they could explore some virtual workshops, like a webinar, which I think they were open to, but they're still trying to find a speaker for that. And I think that last I checked that they were going to look up to the Puget Sound to see if they had any recommended speakers who might want to present on or do a webinar for a workshop and maybe help us out in that regard. But the outreach activities for them, they still want to keep it on hold through the summer, and you know the lead up time that it takes to plan a leak check event. Most likely, it looks like these things will probably have to wait till next year. Our stormwater facility resources grant is, I feel like we're starting to make some more progress there. Got all the videos done, and I've just requested a few quotes from a couple companies. The videos came in way under budget, so we have some funds to dedicate to translating some of these videos and these resources, which is great, actually. So we will be, when I met with the partners yesterday, I already scoped out that, you know, we definitely want to translate these videos into Spanish, where they'll have voiceover. So they'll have voiceover in Spanish, and I think they can overlay some of the graphics in Spanish as well. And then, we also talked about maybe doing Russian as well as maybe the second most used language. And so I think we'll have the funding to do that. And that'll just be a great way to be able to, you know, reach other audiences and kind of work toward some of our diversity and equity goals that we have. We've got the rack cards, and we're about halfway done with those. And then I need a few more photos, and those will be all ready. And I was planning to meet with the folks that are doing the virtual tours next week, and hopefully get all that stuff up soon. Really, I mean, I'm targeting trying to have all this kind of launching all of this stuff in mid-summer, late July, mid-August. And, although there's some things that could probably go out right now, we kind of wanted to wait until we have all the ducks in a row before we start sending everything out. So there's a few other web pages we need to do, for contractors. We want to make it easier for folks to be able to connect with different contractors and find people that do a lot of the work that our inspectors are going and asking them to do. Try to make that adventure a little bit easier and more clear for the consumer. And then eventually we'll be doing some of the trainings. And then we have those signs. The stormwater facility is owned and maintained by signs, and so we've installed the first one of those. And then Carrie Armstrong has been doing a good job kind of getting people to add these signs to their facilities. And so I'm looking, and the signs came out really well too, which I was a little bit worried about, because it's kind of like an idea that I had that, like how to do them kind of faster and maybe cheaper, instead of ordering like one-off signs all the time and having to like work that way. I ordered a bunch of signs and then ordered like a machine where I could kind of print something that can say the name of the HOA that's doing that. So that was unproven. I had some kind of some test cases, but it did turn out really well. It looks really good, and it's nice to have that first one installed. And then another thing that's on my list of things that I got to get cranking on too is the stream health report. Marley has made some maps for me to use and add them to the story map, so that's also a high priority that I'll be working on in the next couple weeks. And so we want to have that done hopefully by June. And so, yeah, I need to get cranking on that. But it'll be nice to have that kind of out there and another kind of thing for the public to be able to learn more about their waterways through. I think that's it. Anybody have any questions?
Eric, this is Matt. I have a couple questions for you, if I may. The Latinx, the vendor you chose for the Latinx data collection, if you could, when that comes through, if you could include, or Marie and me, if there's a data or report on that, that would be great, because that kind of would sync with some of the stuff that we've been talking about related to outreach.
Yeah, I can do that. And another thing that I can do, I have to request this, but someone from the Clean Water Commission had forwarded something that Clean Water Services had done a bunch of focus groups on a whole range of different communities. So it looked pretty comprehensive. I didn't look through the whole thing, but it was really nice to see, you know, a Latinx community, to see, I think, a Pacific Islander community. I think they looked at a number of different groups. And so I have to get permission to share it with everyone else, but okay. I will look into that. And if they give me permission for that, I'll forward that to you guys as well.
That would be fantastic. Those are things that Maria and I have been talking about related to diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. So if we already have some of that data, we're a step ahead.
Yeah, for sure. This will be, and definitely once I get that information from, once I conduct that focus group, the Res Coalition, it'll be good to share that.
Great, thank you.
And the Explorer of the Watersheds.
Alice, I think you're on mute. Yeah.
Okay, fine. Explore the watersheds with the healthy committee, with the county and all the employees.
Oh yeah, that's right. We have like a Living Well committee at the county, and they do all these kind of different things to win different things and just get people moving and healthy. And so they reached out to me and said, hey, you know, how can we connect and have some kind of activity to connect the story map with, you know, getting people out and you know, exploring their watershed and doing healthy activities in parks. And so I don't know when the time frame is, but people are kind of expected to go out and, you know, play in their watershed and take a selfie and then send it in, and they can win one of the public works, kind of the clean water bottles, the dark blue ones that have the salmon and the storm drain medallion logo on there. So yeah, that was kind of cool. That I don't want to take credit for that, because that was from our safety guy that's always in our staff meetings, and so he listens to the stuff we're talking about. So he must have just heard the stuff I was talking about and was like, hey, he's got these awesome water bottles and this cool map. Why don't we do this? And so they actually reached out to me and said, okay, here's what we need. So that's the easy kind of outreach, I guess.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Eric. As usual,
yeah,
it doesn't sound like you're working on that much, bro. No. Good job on that. It's nice to hear too that there's like stuff picking up again with the past year having been kind of big of a stuff. Good job on that. Alice, you want to roll with the staff liaison report?
I will. Jeff wasn't able to make it for the meeting tonight. He sends his regards. Obviously, happy Cinco de Mayo. I'm glad I get to spend it with you guys. They are going to be doing some initial interviews in the next couple weeks for the clean water manager position, so hopefully we will have somebody in permanently in place for Dean's job. Rod is going to be presenting at the public hearing on May 18th for the update on the code and stormwater manual. That's been required by the NPDES permit. So that'll be during the council meeting on that day, that morning. So if you're interested and want to, I think the council meeting starts at, 10? So I'm sure it'll be very exciting. But I'd encourage you, if you're able to attend. We've already turned in our initial budget requests and recommendations for 2022. Have been submitted to the Public Works Director and the Finance Team, and they're already working away on making the decisions that need to be forwarded on to upper management. May 1st, the Schreiber Reforestation Project and grant kicked off, and the Heritage Project is farm project is steaming forward, and we've had just a lot of grants and projects and monitoring work that's going on right now. Doing a lot of personally myself, I'm doing a lot of the billing and taking over some of the LCFRB grants and things like that, getting into doing some of that more billing of that kind of things. And then I know that we're also, Public Works is also working on getting our APPW a recertification, finalizing getting that all ready to send that in. And that's been a huge project. At our July 7th meeting, we're going to have Henry Schottenkirk, who's Clean Waters GIS and mapping infrastructure guru. And he'll talk about all the things that he does, because basically, if he doesn't map it, it doesn't exist. And there are some very specific requirements that are coming due. And so we have a lot to do, including like he has to map all the ditches in the county. So there's a lot out there that he has to do. As of right now, and everything I've heard so far, the county and state L&I still haven't changed their policy about meetings in person or masks or exposure or people driving together in a car or anything like that. So as of right now, we're still planning on meeting virtually. And that will go through at least, I'm thinking, the fall and probably into 22. So we'll play it by ear about whether or not, hopefully the end of the summer, we'll hear something and about whether or not we'll be able to do a field trip or not. And if not, maybe we'll get creative and think about something virtually for you guys at the October special meeting as an option. But and then I am working on getting a DEI speaker, a diversity, equity, inclusion, acceptance speaker, hopefully for the September or October meetings. And Matt gave me some good ideas, and then also Andrea and Eric were at MuniCon, which is the Washington Municipality Convention, and that was first part of April, and they gave me some really good insight of some people that might be able to do it. Then I'm also on the county's CCE dig, which is the Clark County Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion Group, and we help advise as an employee group issues and concerns and advocate policies and working with the council and department heads and things like that of where we need to go. And I know one of the things that we're working on is sending a letter to the charter committee to have it be much more of a good way to put it, a much more visible priority, publicly stated priority. And especially where I know Public Works and with a mod, that is something that's really, really important to him and our department. And Jeff, one of the things he's actually having me do is give a diversity, equity, inclusion, acceptance as part of our monthly staff meetings. And so that's one of the things that we're doing more of because of understanding and how we can better serve all of our communities in Clark County and even in the state and the rest of the world. So looking at what our impacts are, how we can reach out better and move forward with those things. So there's much more emphasis on that, and I know that that's coming, and we're working on things with our transportation initiative part, the TIP, and the plans, as well as with some of our 20-year capital infrastructure. When we start moving more on developing and working on that, that's going to be some more of the things that are going to come up. And there's a really high commitment, both at all the various levels in public works and in other areas of the county. And so I think that that's going to be something that even the Charter Committee is looking at, making a much bigger portion and part of the culture and identity of Clark County. So that's kind of some of the things that kind of big picture where we're going. And that's all I've really got. Got a daughter got married last month, and I've got a son getting married this month. So other than that, you know, it's just really busy lately, and we've got a lot going on, and everybody's pretty stretched pretty thin right now, especially going into the really busy monitoring season. I guess it's good and bad that we were very successful on a lot of grants, and so we're stretched really, really thin right now. But it just means that we're able to just keep going and be able to still provide all the services, but it's getting a little challenging. But so that's pretty much what's going on in Clean Water.
Nice. Thanks, Alice. Good luck onboarding all the in-laws.
Yeah.
All right, working group updates. First, Michelle, for research.
Okay.
I think we're kind of where we left off last, but yeah.
Yeah, well, we haven't met since the last meeting, but we did start our Word document for research that we found. I had added my portions, and I recently looked and saw that you added your portions, Brennan. I think we have a better understanding right now of China Ditch, which was previously called Eureka Ditch, which does seem like it's just bad sediments for the time. I don't know that, I didn't read it fully, and I don't know if anybody found anything on Shanghai Creek. I found almost nothing when I was searching.
No, it's only referenced as the creek that they camped next to. And it seems to have gotten that name at the same time. So there's like the only reference I can see of it having a different name is like only in reference to the property owner that owned most of the property along it. That where the camp was. So it seems to have been given an association at the same time. But just like China Ditch, there's nothing official. The names just kind of like shift at that time and start being referred to as such in the documents thereafter.
So
I think that this predates any like official cataloging, and so by the time anybody was walking around like cataloging into any county or national register or what it is, you know, just kind of like, what do you guys call this creek? And it's like, oh, that's Shanghai Creek. Like, okay, wrote it down.
So that's our only update, but we'll have a meeting probably pretty soon to see if anybody else found anything else out.
I was just going to chime in that just, yes. No, it's been a busy couple of days. Friday, the gentleman at the Clark County Historical Society had apparently found some more information that he sent me as a link folder, and I just started looking into it, so it was some more information. Some of it, I think, is some documents that I may have seen, but some of it's some more stuff, so I was going to thumb through that and upload that into our kind of collection of research. And then there's three different organizations that I've found so far that would be different community organizations of Chinese Americans in Portland, centered in Portland, that I think is kind of the next step to reach out to try to make some type of connection with communities in the area for trying to get their voice at the table on the conversation. I think the research pretty clearly points to, like, even though the names don't drastically stand out as having been derogatory or like sounding derogatory necessarily, they definitely were given at a time when that would have been the sentiment, and so it's pretty hard to think that it was given as an honorary title. So I think the next step is reaching out to members of the community and seeing you know, what type of input we can get there. So we'll probably have more at the next meeting to update on.
Brendan?
Yeah.
One of the our presenter today that we had in our training for our CCE Dig group, actually there was quite a bit of the history of Chinese American and Chinese and Asian immigrants as well as other immigrants and she actually, I guess she worked at Clark County for a while and has now gone on, and she's actually doing a lot of the work. You might want to contact Rekha Strong, R-E-K-A-H-T Strong, and she had some slides in her presentation about Asian Americans and immigrants in this area, and so that might be something she might be able to give you some history and some more background on with that kind of DEI lens.
Yeah, that'd be great. And did you end up with any email and phone contact info for her?
Mm-hmm. I can send it to you.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe Michelle and Charlie and I, we can do a meeting to kind of give each other assignments for following up on each of those. Yeah, it's been interesting with the timing on it. I know, like, reaching out to these different groups, it's unfortunate, you know, timing on it, but the national kind of attention drawn to different hate crimes against Asian members of the community and stuff, and so it's weird's not the word I want to use, but it was an interesting parallel of, like, reading this stuff from happening in the late 1800s, and then it started popping up in the news contemporarily, and so the timing of it seemed, you know, due. Yeah, so moving on to our outreach. Matt?
Yeah, thanks. Maria and I have met, and a couple of things we're talking about. We are still going to be actively pursuing the Salmon Safe Initiative. We haven't got any buy-in from the county yet, or really acknowledgement, if I can put it that way. So, from you, Alice, yes, thank you. Alice has been helpful, and she's listened to me when I've called, noting that I have not heard anything from the county. So Marie and I are going to do a little bit of advanced work and see maybe if collecting some data around this initiative might be helpful in pursuing this, or seeing if there's any interest in pursuing this with the county. Alongside the thread of this last conversation as well, we're talking about diversity, equity, and inclusion, and maybe how both as outreach and as a commission, we might want to make more of an explicit commitment to DEI. And so we're going to be doing some research on some, trying to find some groups that might be able to help us with that and help us focus in on our outreach efforts as well. With Alice's help, I met with several times with Elaine Placido at the Lower Columbia Estuary Partnership, just because I heard that they were doing a lot of DEI work. So they're sort of doing the same thing, trying to align themselves with groups and do some active outreach and involve everybody in the conversation around their mission, which aligns, of course, with our mission. So the partnership is also interested in the work. If we are successful down this path, the work that we're going to be doing related to DEI. So lots of stuff to do. Hopefully we have something a little bit more tangible to report back on next time. Marie, did I capture all of that?
Yes. Did you want to talk about the River Chunkies?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, thank you. So this is why I asked. also reached out to a gentleman that I have heard of that heads a nonprofit called the River Junkies. And it's not a very big nonprofit. It's held together mostly by him. He's an active angler, coordinates river cleanups around the region. I believe he might have something. I think he said membership from a number of different countries. But he's really focused on Southwest Washington, maybe a little bit more heavily focused on Cowlitz County, but certainly moves into Clark County. And if it wasn't last year, it was the year before he won WDFW's Volunteer of the Year award for the river cleanups. So just talked just very briefly to him, trying to get some information about what he was doing, and he seemed very interested if there was some alignment with the outreach that we could do with the Clark County Clean Water Commission, especially if there was a cleanup here in the county, say maybe on the East Fork or the Washougal. So I'll keep my eyes open for that. Yeah, that's it.
When did you guys have your meeting?
About an hour and a half ago.
Okay, so on May 5th. That's great.
Yeah.
Because that's actually something, and I'm going to start working on getting it out, maybe a timeline or something. Of if you guys can send me when you've met with different people, kind of an outline, maybe each month or something, or each meeting, if you can send me an outline of what you kind of who you met with or things that are going on, especially for all these meetings, because that'll make compiling it for the annual report much easier.
Let me clarify, Alice, if I could interrupt.
Sure.
Did you mean meetings with all these other people or when Maria and I met?
Yes, both.
Okay. Yeah, Maria and I met an hour and a half ago. I'll dig through the other stuff. If you can get that, I'll dig through that and get that.
Mm-hmm. Because that's one of the activities and part of the annual report is your as a commission, your outreach to the greater community. So, like, all the research and things that Brendan's been doing and Michelle and everybody. So just kind of keep that in mind. If you, it might make it easier just to... We'll try and do something at the meetings, or if you want to put it out or send them in, that way I've got it and we can just have it available, so it'll make it easier for dumping it into the report at the end of the year. So we're not having to sit there in November, December going, now when did I meet? I know they met sometime in the first quarter. Was that in February or was that March? So anyway, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for letting me know that, because I'll have to start working. Digging through and finding that stuff.
Then we talked about the mask.
And we should. I should have asked Eric because I said I was going to, and he popped off. He popped off here. So Marie and I were talking about the masks that we all are so unfortunately familiar with wearing these days, and. If Eric, particularly, or if anybody else has seen anything as far as education or data out there on where these things might be ending up, you know, I guess from anecdote, we've probably all seen them floating around in parking lots. I know I have, in gutters, streamside. As somebody who spends a lot of time along the river, I've certainly seen them out there. And what potential outcomes there are, I'm guessing probably negative outcomes of these masks, especially the disposable ones. And Marie was specifically mentioning the tie backs behind your ears and how those might be harmful. Yeah, is there, as far as outreach, is there anything going on about snipping those things? And I related to Maria's story that, you know, ever since I was 6 years old, I've been snipping the tops of the little six pack holders. I mean, that's because I read that in a fishing magazine that, you know, even if you're not throwing them out the truck window like some people are, even if you put them in the trash, they might still end up out in the habitat somewhere, and you don't want that to be harmful to fish, waterfowl, and so forth. So what's going on out there related to these masks, if anything? Or do we just see this as sort of an ephemeral thing that'll go away? So I thought that was an excellent idea, Marie. Marie had that. I don't know what the rest of you think. I hadn't even thought of it. Even though I see them everywhere on the ground.
I know it's another bit of anecdotal evidence, but I do know, talking with my teams that do the stormwater cleanup, so they're in the urban areas, you know, cleaning up those facilities. And one of my crew leads the other day, you know, I was there visiting, found one, picked it up, and he grabbed it and said, "These are the new cigarette butt." In reference to the fact that the team is finding them constantly in the facility. So it definitely has become a pretty regular thing. I would like to think that through time that it will become less common and we won't see them as much. We just get back to cigarette butts.
Yeah, if we could only go back to smoking.
I've seen something, I don't know where it was actually, that had a picture of a mask stuck around, hanging off of a duck, and it had said, you know, make sure you cut your loops. I don't remember where I saw it, but it's been the last couple weeks, and definitely was something that I just, probably social media as I was scrolling around on something. And then I can definitely ask Eric and the rest of the people from, we have our staff meeting next week, so I can definitely find out.
And then, thank you, Al.
And then I can get back to you.
Pretty sure I saw an article about it somewhere that had some data in it or something. I'll have to look for it. But it sounds like somebody needs to cash in on the idea of fully biodegradable masks.
Yeah.
Think about potato starch or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, among other performance requirements, which is still sort of out the window.
The unfortunate thing that I'm thinking is that the situations and the individuals that lead to the ones that you see on the roadside are not going to match up with the conscious effort of clipping the back of them.
Yeah.
So I agree with you that it would be good, but it's kind of one of those where I think about circumstances that have get to that situation.
But I mean, I totally agree with you, Brendan, but also at the same time, it's just, you know, when I watch the garbage truck after it picks up from my house and just the amount of trash that flies out the back of it, again, it's, you know, I'm never going to consciously throw one of those six-pack rings out the window, but I know it could fly out the back of a truck, so.
Yeah,
we're done with this soon, but who knows. And Maria, if I've forgotten anything else, I think that's it.
Nope, we're good. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Did you say you got some contact information from the individual with River Junkies?
I do have some contact information for him. He has a website, and there's a contact form, and the contact form will eventually go to him. You know, he's, I assume, does a full-time job somewhere else, so he kind of gets back to you when he can. But I told Marie sort of his story is that, you know, avid angler, just finally got to the point where he was just sick and tired of seeing the trash streamside. If any of you spend any time streamside, it's terrible. And unfortunately, a lot of it is produced by anglers themselves. But it, just the nail in the coffin for him was when he was landing a salmon and it had a hypodermic needle stuck in it as he landed it. And so then he started this effort, which has been wildly successful for one individual. And people have actively signed up and been volunteering to, as he organizes these river cleanups, to go along the rivers and clean up.
Yeah, it sounds like a great one. Maybe get Eric in the loop on that too.
Okay.
With it, with programs. And I went to the website, or pulled up a website for River Junkies. I think this may be it, but got some good looking swag too. So.
Yes, you could buy stuff from them that supports that supports the cause. And I'm just quickly looking here. I'm sure, Brendan, it's probably the same River Junkies. Can't imagine there are very many of them out there, but it's probably the same one.
Yeah. I got a River Junkie with a Y.us.
I think that's it. Yep.
Cool.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Matt.
Yes, thank you.
Justin, do you have any updates for partnerships?
Yeah, so we met March 20th for Alice's information. Jump right on that. Get ahead of that question. One of the primary topics that came up was I may have just been looking at a draft of the six-year plan, but the first thing I noticed when I looked at it was that all the grant funding columns in the budget table were zero. $0. And I just wondered why that was. And I mean, I reached out to Jeff, and he said that that was probably a draft version, and there's a more final version that has some grant numbers in it. But what occurred to me was that, I think over the years, Michelle has accumulated all of these various grant funding sources, and with the 20-year capital plan kind of coming together, it might be more of a topic, speculatively, that there's this list of grants that the county could go after for all of these projects, and may just be a place where some of those grant sources and partnership opportunities could actually get discussed. So I need to touch bases with Jeff again on that. Michelle sent the list of grants earlier today, I believe. So I think we have some fuel for our next meeting. And then I think the other thing that kind of hit me recently was that some prospective clients in some cases, actual clients and others that keep popping up on projects for me are Trout Unlimited and Ducks Unlimited. And I know I kind of want to speak to somebody from those organizations. I don't know if anybody here already has at any point in the past, but I think they may have some stake in, you know, our interest in clean water and stormwater runoff, and it seems that way. They've been kind of the primary client for some culvert projects that have been popping up in coastal Oregon, I think, recently was where I saw Trout Unlimited pop up. So they'd be kind of interesting to talk to, see if they've ever looked at doing any work in Clark County or if they have any interest in doing anything here, because I know they are working very closely with, I want to say it was Tillamook County, on three culvert replacements, because it's all county right-of-way. So that is my relatively brief update. We have gotten the ball rolling on talking about some stuff. And I guess actually the other thing that came up was whether we might be of any assistance to the research group when it comes time on the rink naming subject. So something to keep in the back of your guys' minds.
Yeah, I definitely think that the angle with that we want to take is a partnership type approach. So it's not just, you know, us researching, and then when you get to the whole decision of like, okay, so here's what the research shows. Now, if we have a conversation about renaming it, I think that's, you know, that's a partnership type thing. So I think that would be great to kind of bridge the two groups for that.
Yeah, I mean, that's one that our discussion about it was, you know, all three groups have some interest in being a part of that. Once it gets past the initial research phase, at least, outreach and partnerships become kind of important for taking everybody's temperature on it.
Well, optimistically, by the next meeting, we could have a kind of summary of the research. Maybe we can take some time to present that and then kind of figure, you know, marching orders, if you will, for all three groups from there to take the next step.
Yeah, I do think that some, not necessarily coordination, but at least identification of different contacts for each of the groups and parsing those out might be helpful so we know who's doing what.
That did occur to me. I found some numbers the other day, and I thought to myself, like, oh, I want to make sure that Michelle or Charlie have maybe not called these people, and they're like, that's a third person from the Clark County that's contacted me.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Justin. If we don't have anything else from the working groups, I think we're moving into general discussion before adjourning if anybody has anything to bring to the table. We're all good? All right. Well, we can get out of here about an hour early then tonight. It's still light out. Well, I will officially adjourn the meeting. Thank you, Alice, as always, for putting everything together. Correct me, do we have a meeting between now and July? Or
no.
We don't have a special meeting. Okay, so July is our next one.
July 7th.
So just working groups in the meantime.
Mm-hmm. And then we'll have a couple of sets of minutes, like 3 sets of minutes.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I'll get those out to you.
Oh,
early June.
I'm purposing you on purpose.
Good thing I'm cute, man. Good thing I'm cute.
Yeah.
So I wasn't telling my kids.
The exclamation marks and like, all that stuff above your head.
Yeah, I was like, I can imagine first part of March, June. Yeah, first part of March, 2022. First week of June. So, yeah, I'll get them out too. I'll have them. Thanks, everybody.
Okay. Good deal. Well, everybody have a good night.
Mm-hmm.
Take care.
Thank you.
A good early summer.
Yeah.